some things because Jesus had taught them many things. But the disciples knew that they had the power to call down fire from heaven because they knew Elijah had did this, you know. But what they hadn't learned yet was how to cast out those devils until Jesus showed them as they was on this journey. See, we don't know all things, but if we keep following Jesus on this journey on our way to heaven, everything will be made clear to us. We're not going to get it all in one day, in one time, in one month, in one year. As we walk with God, he will make things clearer for us. And in verse 55, Jesus answered the question, should we call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans because they didn't receive him? And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. In verse 55, Jesus turned and he rebuked them. Do you know what a rebuke is? Jesus turned and he rebuked them. And this is what he said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Saints of God, do you know what manner of spirit? This is the subject of our lesson. Do you know what manner of spirit you are? Do you know?
KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Month, I'm going to be doing a series entitled Working with Your Faith. Working with Your Faith. And it's designed to do five things: to build your faith, to develop your faith, to exercise your faith, to mature your faith, and to strengthen your faith. And it's so important because everything that's going to please God is going to come by way of faith. And it's important to know, if you want to get the promises of God from the spirit realm into the natural realm, you're going to need to know how to operate by faith. Now, God hears us when we pray, but our prayers must be prayer full of faith. Prayers where God's word, God's will, and God's way is a part of the expectation of our prayers when we pray. And so a whole lot of folk come to church and they have membership, but very few really lack the importance of relationship, and many of them don't know how to get the promises of God from the biblical pages into my life. And my desire is to help the people of God to understand in this life, ye will have tribulations. Don't think that because you're saved, the enemy is going to leave you alone. As a matter of fact, the more you are closer to the Lord, the more you grow in the Lord, the enemy is going to try you. But how many of us know, and it's not just the word that's quoted from the scriptures, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper when you operate in the things of God. It doesn't mean it won't hit you, it won't knock you down, but it's not going to do you up and out. You're going to be able to come back in the end and win. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be the victor. Don't mean you won't have challenges. And you've got to get this, because the devil will mess with your faith when the enemy knocks you down. But here's what you got to understand. They got to count you out. And just because you're knocked down, don't count too fast, because it ain't over till it's over. And you've got to recognize, if God has said that you are the winner, then it doesn't matter what it looks like until the fight is over. You have the faith that I'm going to win this thing. You can be on your last breath, and they can give up, the doctors, family, and folk who look at you and say, oh, he ain't gonna make it, she ain't gonna make it. And every now and then, the Lord lets them see that you, I've heard of several stories where people have literally died in the earth realm, and they have done what they could and couldn't revive them and walked away, and then the people and come back to life. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all sitting here like I'm making this up. There are stories, because God wants all of us to know he's in control. And all you have to do is believe him, trust him, depend on him, and watch him do what he said he's going to do. So again, I want to try and work with your faith. Why? Because there are enough people working with your doubt. And I think that'll be helpful for the believer, if you don't mind. Stand to your feet and honor the word of the Lord. We're going to pray and then turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege of your word. We thank you for these, your people, Lord. We pray that they will hear your word, and not only hear, but practice what they hear. Lord, we pray that you would build up their most holy faith. Show them in scripture how you operate according to principles. And if we would practice the principles, we too shall profit from them. So we thank you in advance for what you shall do because of your word. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Rita, would you read from Matthew chapter 14? I just want to pick up verses 26 through 31. 26 through 31.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was down, had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, Wherefore didst thou doubt?
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, this is no unfamiliar story to the believers. We've heard it in Sunday school and in sermonic presentations. We've read it in our private devotional times. But I want to focus with the expectation of working with your faith, helping you to understand some principles in the Word of God. I would desire that you listen closely and listen to what the Spirit of the living God is saying to you. Now, this story, of course, begins in the 22nd verse of this 14th chapter, and it runs to the 33rd verse of this chapter 14. And, of course, Jesus is ministering to a large crowd, and he constrains his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side while he sends the crowd away. When he sends the crowd away, he goes up into a high mountain alone and he prays. And I shared with the church this morning, it is important for people who minister, whatever ministry God gives you, once you have poured out, you need to be in a place where you can be refilled. And fellowship with God, prayer time with God, is a time where God ministers back to you, refills you, refreshes you, re-anoints you for the next assignment in your life. And so Jesus had gone up to fellowship with the Father. The record is it was about the fourth watch in the night. It was between 3 and 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. It's still dark. And the Bible says that the winds were contrary. The water was raging. The winds were blowing. Everything out on the sea was not a calm and good place to be. And then in those wee hours of the morning, Jesus comes walking on the water. The men see this spirit, as they call it, and they become fearful and afraid. Now, Jesus tells them in verse 27 three things. He says, one, be of good cheer. Now, why would he say that? Well, it's between 3 and 6 in the morning. The winds are blowing. The water is raging. It's dark. The ship is rocking. They see Jesus in a capacity they've never seen him before. He knows their thoughts. They think he's a spirit, translated a ghost. And the first thing he tells them, be of good cheer. And them brothers are wondering, what's going on here? And so Jesus says, it is I, which should have been clear to every one of the men on the ship, all 12 of them, that was the voice of Jesus. Then he says, be not afraid. One, be of good cheer, didn't work. It is I, didn't work. So he says, maybe if I tell you don't be afraid, maybe that'll work. 11 of them were still scared out of their senses. Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out on the water to you. Now, one of the things that Peter knew, and the Bible says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Something was different about what Peter heard and what the other brothers heard. And so Peter calls out to the Lord, because one of the things Peter has inherently learned in the teachings of Jesus, and it is that you have to walk by faith, but you also need an instruction from the Lord to do a work of the Lord. And so he needed to hear Jesus tell him, it was all right for him to get up out of the ship and get on the water and come to him. And so Jesus simply said, come. That was it. Peter didn't have to say another word. Now, of course, you notice none of the other disciples said, me too, Lord. None of the other disciples said, Lord, add my name to the list. Or, Lord, I'm coming with Peter. We're coming together. You sent us out two by two. We're coming two by two. Peter got out there by himself. None other trusted the Lord Jesus enough to get out of that ship. Now, maybe if the conditions were better, maybe if the sea were calm, winds weren't blowing, waves weren't raging, maybe if the sea was clear as glass and it looked like it was cement they were walking on, maybe they might have been encouraged to get out there. But look at the condition that Peter gets out of the ship in. He gets out of the ship with the winds blowing contrary, the Bible says, the water raging, the middle of the night, and there is a figure that appears to look like Jesus, but his faith is believing that he has heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, and he gets out of the ship and begins to walk on water. Now, that's something none of the other disciples can ever say they did. They were doubters in that ship, and I really encourage you to get this morning's a CD, because I do not have the time to go through all of the points that I brought up in that text, because I'm moving on through it to get to what I didn't get to at the earlier service, and these are the verses now. So listen at this. It's at this point where I want to get to, because Peter has walked on the water now. He's successful in being able to say he walked on water. But now I want to deal with the fact that since he has walked on the water, he has accomplished to some degree what he got out of the ship to do. The devil does not leave him alone. Now, because now every point that I'm making here is applicable to your life and to situations that will be encountered by your life, so I want you to listen well. Peter gets out of the ship in the midst of a raging storm, in the midst of waves that are so large that they are hurling water everywhere and even bringing blinding spots between him and Jesus. But his faith is so focused on Jesus that he keeps on walking toward Jesus. But something happens. Now that he is on the water, too far to reach back to the ship, not close enough to reach out to Jesus, the Bible says that the winds become boisterous. In other words, the enemy kicks up his attack. He revs up, amps up, builds up the wind. And how many of you have ever been in some really windy situations? You could almost hear the wind talking to you. Sometimes some folks say the wind is howling. Well, whatever it said, the Bible says that at that point, Peter became fearful. Now, he's already walked on the water. He's already gotten out of the ship. He's on his way to Jesus. And now the devil says, listen, you're too far to go back and you're not close enough to yet reach your point. I'm going to still do what I can do to try and stop you from getting to Jesus. Because when Peter prayed and asked the Lord to come on the water, remember what he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come out on the water to you. you. To you. Not just to walk on the water. He had already successfully walked on the water, but that wasn't the end of his request. His request was, his desire was to walk on the water. But he also had a destination. And his destination was to reach Jesus. Come out on the water to you. And so when the devil then ramped up all of his forces against Peter, at that moment, Peter began to doubt. And he went down. Now that's where, you know, a lot of folk jump on Peter and talk about Peter and the fact that he did doubt at that time. Well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you walked 2-3 steps on the water before you criticized Peter? At least he walked far enough away from the ship not to be able to get back in the ship. He walked far enough to Jesus to almost reach him, but he wasn't quite there yet. When was the last time the record records anybody else walking on the water? So what I want you to see and understand about this is that many times when you do the impossible, the devil is not going to stop messing with you just because you started. And you need to know that he's not going to give up on you until you finish. The devil's going to do all he can. Since he couldn't keep you from starting, he's going to try to keep you from finishing. You've got to have this in your mind. You've got to know that even though the Lord is for you, it does not mean the devil won't stop being against you. Listen well. It's important to recognize that Peter found himself now filled with doubt to the point where he took his eyes off of Jesus, and more expressly, not so much the physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes. And more than that, he did not believe in that moment the word of Jesus that he told him he could come to him. Not just walk on the water, but come to him. And so here is the point. The enemy wanted him to think that though you accomplish some of your goal, you won't accomplish all of your goal. But how many know the devil is a liar? I'm trying to encourage somebody who's either going through or getting ready to go through, or just bless somebody who know what I'm talking about and who have just come through. You understand that all of these trials will come to test your faith. To test your faith. And when Peter started to sink, Bible says he cried out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Now we all remember that part. And here's what happened. Jesus stretched forth his hand, which meant he was not that far from Peter, and pulled him up and saved. Well, that means this, that when the devil makes you think with all of the interference and with all of the different things that happen that he throw to bring confusion so that you don't see Christ clearly, here's what you got to hold on to. The voice that spoke to you and said what the command was and what would happen. And he said, come. That obligated, listen to this, that obligated Jesus to take care of Peter till he got to him. I said that obligated Jesus to take care of Peter until he got to him. Because the record says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out on the water to thee. So just coming out on the water was only half of it. The other half was, let me make it to you. And so Peter couldn't drown if he wanted to drown. But he didn't know that. And the devil did know that. But he still didn't stop trying to mess with Peter. And so Peter went down. But I want you to notice something. He didn't drown. What am I trying to say? The Bible says a good man will fall seven times, but he will rise again. You got to understand that just because you fall don't mean that it's all done and over with. You can get back up. You can rise, because the enemy is not going to leave you alone just because you start walking in faith. You got to keep on till you finish this walk of faith. Now Jesus asks Peter an interesting question. He says, after he saves him and brings him to a point of comfort, he says, O ye of little faith. I'm about to leave an important point out. O ye of little faith, wherefores did thou doubt? Now I want you to pay attention to this. He said, O ye of little faith. Now you might think that that was belittling Peter to say, O ye of little faith. But I need you to understand the context in which Jesus says this. Because remember, Jesus is trying to build his faith, develop his faith, exercise his faith, mature his faith, and strengthen his faith. So he was not being critical of Peter in the sense of saying you went from much faith or high faith or strong faith to weak faith. He was calling off the measure of faith that was in Peter. O ye of little faith. Well, Romans 12:3 says God gives every man a measure of faith. It was a mustard seed of faith. That was a little faith. Now listen to this. With that little faith, look what Peter did. Oh, Lord, if y'all really got that, y'all would have been shouting. Oh, ye of little faith. That's all he had, was little faith. But look what he did with the little faith. He walked on water with little faith. What would he have been able to do with great faith? What? Peter, you only had a little faith in the beginning, and look at what you've done. Why? Where did you doubt? Where did you doubt? Now, some would think that he doubted Jesus. Excuse me. But I got news for you. He didn't doubt Jesus, and Jesus did not think that he doubted him. Jesus knew what happened in Peter. But here's what he asked him for Peter to understand the process. He asks Peter, wherefore did thou doubt? He asks him this so that he would recognize, one, that it's a test. Two, that this test in a different form was going to come up again. Three, if he learned where he went weak or wrong at in this test, the next time he's tested, he'll know how to project what the enemy is doing and be able to overcome that.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdaily.com.